Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. I'm happy to have Dave Lent as my guest today. Dave Lent's career as a cameraman, producer, author, and product designer spans four decades. His clients include international networks, local stations, corporations, and independent production companies. Dave's seven documentaries include critically acclaimed Life Without, Hotel Macedonia, and The Five Keys to Mastery. He is the author of Masterminds, The Laws of Camera Work, and Video Rules, and is the inventor of the Steady Bag, Pickup Sticks, Gel File, and Lens End, production accessories used by video, film, and photo professionals worldwide. Based in Oakland, California, Dave continues to work as a news and documentary cameraman while growing a new career focused on helping people discover their calling, practice the five keys to mastery, and earn a living doing what they love. Join us today for a conversation about Dave Lent's new book, Masterminds, and find out how ordinary people create extraordinary lives. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, thank you, Margaret. I was smiling the whole time you were reading that little bio because it was to hear all the things that I've done. It reminded me of something my dad once said when I was a kid. He said, "You know, son, if you're so smart, why aren't you rich?" And I said, "Dad, I haven't made my move. I haven't made my move yet." Yeah,
well,
still
there
making
are,
my move, Margot. Still making my move.
There is more than one way to be successful, and there's definitely more to success than just money. And I think that as far as success goes, you're pretty darn successful.
Well, how do you define success for yourself?
I define success as loving yourself, living your music, being yourself, you know, and enjoying your life, you know, really, to me, I mean, because if somebody's making lots and lots of money, but they're not being who they are and being true to themselves, not loving themselves, and not living that music that they feel called to live, as we were talking about, music's a metaphor for doing what you feel called to do and being your authentic self. So, you know, to me, if somebody's not doing that, then they're not very successful, really, even if they have a lot of money.
Hmm. You always make me think of things that I've never thought of before, because I've always told people that I look at happiness not as a linear thing, where, you know, a happy life or a happy childhood or a happy career, but I look at it as a galaxy of moments, you know, of everything, moments in my life from black holes to supernovas and everything in between. So it's a galaxy of moments, of happy or unhappy moments. And you just made me realize that I'm thinking this way about success too, where, you know, I'll have a little success, like I made a really great pizza last month. A Neapolitan pizza is one of my passions. And that moment was a successful moment, you know. And then I've had, like, big successes too and tiny successes. But they're all, like, they're all out there in a galaxy of their own. Yeah.
That's so true. And I love what Abraham Hicks says, is that a happy life is just a string of happy moments. And that's what you're talking about here. And what we're talking about here is that people tend to forget about the fact that all the little successes are part of what make a happy and successful life. You know, it's not just like one huge thing that you accomplish and then all of a sudden you're successful forever. It's also been said that it's not like a college degree. You know, it's not like you get the degree and then all of a sudden that's it forever. This, you know,
have you ever sat down like at the end of the month or at the end of the day and made a list of the things that you accomplished that day or that month or that year? Do you do that?
You know, I don't do it on a monthly basis or even on a weekly basis, which would be a good thing, although I do it in a way in writing my morning pages every morning. I write about things that I've done and things I'm glad I did and things I've learned and things I want to remember in my morning pages. So they're awesome for that. And what I started doing a few years ago was making a list at the end of the year each year of 25 plus things I'm glad I did that year.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting just to think back on them and not even necessarily using the calendar, at least not at first, and just think about what comes to mind that you're really, really glad you did.
Yeah, Susan turned me on to this concept of your accomplishments list. And I started doing it like at the end of the year, and then I realized that there were so many things that any of us do in a year that I've got to start doing it monthly. And like just in a day, like, you know, did laundry yesterday, I cooked, I went to the store, blah, blah, blah. I did like 20 things yesterday. And these sometimes are little successes, you know?
Yeah.
And
it's so good, true.
It makes us feel so much better about it. Well, but myself, when I see how much I've done in a day or in a week or in a month or a year, you know?
Oh, I know. That is so true. And I think so many people get caught up in all the things they don't get done that they forget to feel good about what they do get done.
Yeah, and the thing that makes me feel the most successful is when I'm with somebody and I turn them on to that thing that they love to do, that thing that is their passion or their calling, and they didn't know that. That makes me feel successful, you know.
Oh, I know. That's the most amazing feeling. That's one of the things I love about being a life coach and also about my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. And thank you, by the way, for your endorsement that you wrote for the book. But it's just, you know, to help people figure out what their calling is, what their music is, and to help them believe that they can live it and to figure out how to put that into their life, you know, how to take time for it, how to show up for it. That's just an awesome feeling, and that's one of the things I love about being a coach. But, you know, I want to talk about the book, the new book that you have out, and also the 5 Keys to Mastery. And I think that in some ways, you know, your DVD, oh, God, I just love your DVD, The 5 Keys to Mastery. It's just so visual, and I really enjoy the book. I'm really loving being able to read all the in-depth answers that the people had for the interviews.
Yeah, yeah. The book is essentially the complete interviews from that went into that DVD, and I edited them just for length and, you know, repetition and stuff like that. But it's the complete pretty much uncensored interviews.
And having seen the DVD a number of times, because I really love watching it. It brought back quotes and memories of things from the movie, the DVD, that were really wonderful. And I put the pictures of Carlos Santana and Paul Reed Smith, the guitar maker, and B.B. King in the slideshow. But there's so many other people in this book as well and in the DVD. And I want to just tell us a little tiny bit about it. Well, I was going to say that because the people may not have seen the 5 Keys to Mastery, they may not know what that's about. Do you want to mention what the 5 keys are first?
Sure. Yeah. What happened was that George Leonard, a well-known author and Aikido teacher for 34 years, discovered that his students who went to the top and stayed there in Aikido shared common traits, and he spent some time identifying these traits and giving them names, and then doing what amounted to a research paper or a thesis in Esquire magazine, where he showed how top professional athletes of the time, and this is the late 80s, early 90s, were practicing these 5 traits. And when I saw the article, I called George, who was a neighbor in Mill Valley, and told him that I thought that his theory was not only true for athletes, but true for the general population, and that I would like to travel around the country, interview people who had achieved great things or reached the top of their fields, many fields, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. we asked them in the interviews. Susan did most of the interviews, but we had several interviewers, how you became so successful. But we didn't tell our interview subjects these five traits that we knew.
Interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we didn't want people to start talking to the subject of visualization or their passion or playing the edge. We wanted it to come from them, to be in their own words and not be guided. So this is and in the editing of the DVD, I edited to show that people are using hundreds of different terms for the same five things, which George
mm-hmm.
called the five keys to mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, I didn't tell people right away what the five keys were. I
mm-hmm.
put it in the end of the book, and I recommended that people read the book and see if they pick up on their own patterns
mm-hmm.
And synonyms for these five things without knowing what they were, and see if they get it, you know, by the end of the
mm-hmm.
book. You want to know what the five keys are? Or are there people out there you think that don't know?
Well, you know, the thing is that first of all, Susan is your wife, and she's
yeah.
been your partner for how many years now?
38.
Partner in life and in this project for a lot of years. And are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, Dave. Okay. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, she's been a big part of this also. And you've been mentioning Susan, and I didn't know if our listeners would know who Susan was. And I just wanted to make sure that they knew that she's your wife and that she did help you with a lot of these interviews. And she's also in the book. So
yeah, and the reason for that, and there are two or three more people in the book that weren't in the DVD, and the reason for that is between the time we finished the DVD and now,
mm-hmm.
Susan has accomplished so much that she
oh,
deserved
no.
to be in this collection.
Yeah.
As do
yeah.
many people I know. I mean, I know people who have accomplished great things that are all around me. I'm surrounded by geniuses, you know, as
yeah.
you know, you are too. So
yeah.
there's I could do interviews with thousands of people and they would say the same things, you know. So and I would love to do volume 2, 3, 4, and 5 many more of these books and DVDs. But let me ask you this, Margaret: how many people really care about this stuff, about knowing what these five keys are, or what their calling is, or what does it take to become really good at what you do? It's a pretty small percentage of the population, don't you think?
Well, it's said that it's never crowded on the extra mile.
There's always room at the top.
Yeah, and that's the other thing they always say. I remember Earl Nightingale talking about the pyramid of success, and how that, you know, when you're competing with all the people at the bottom of the pyramid of success, there's a lot of people there, but as you go up higher, you're competing with fewer and fewer people.
It gets real lonely, yeah.
I do think it's important, though, for our listeners to know what the five keys are. So I'm going to just tell what they are really briefly, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the book and the movie.
Yeah.
Number one is answer your calling. 2, get a guide. 3, practice. 4, visualize the outcome, and 5, you love, go for it. That's basically what my show's about, really, is about people listening to what they feel called to do, what their heart's desire is. And then in order to do that, though, you need to get a guide. So that's the second thing, you know, a mentor, a coach, teacher, advisor, consultant, guiding spirit, friend, helper, partner. I love all these different ways that you describe it. And then, of course, practice. You know, you've got to have tenacity, repetition, prepare, show up, dedication, persistence, baby steps, rehearse. 4, visualize the outcome, intention, imagine, focus, affirmation, goal, treasure mapping, eyes on the prize. And Number five, play the edge. Raise the bar. Push the envelope. Think outside the box. Give it 110%. Stretch your boundaries. And I love this one, Dave. Embrace your discomfort zone. Your discomfort zone. Because that's the only way you can grow, is if you're willing to go even just the tiniest little bit past your comfort zone. And
you got it. You know, I've known for a long time that you were, well, it was special to see somebody, and it was you, that recognized these as quickly as you did, because most people don't. It takes a lot more time for most people to get it, but you got it right mm-hmm. away, and I always felt like a colleague in this movement here. At least, hopefully, maybe it will. I hope it does become a movement someday. But I've discovered, and tell me if you think this is true too, that if you want to make a living doing what you love, which we mm-hmm. all do, right? Mm-hmm. All you need to do is answer your calling, surrender to your passion, because when you know what you love to do, and you start doing that, you do it a lot because you love it, right? You love it, mm-hmm. so you do it a lot. Because you do it a lot, you get good at it, and the better you get at it, then the more attention you get, the more gratitude that you get for doing it. People start to mm-hmm. pay you money. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to have a money hustle while you do this, while you're growing your passion. But eventually your passion will get to a point where you're so good at it that you're making more money from this than you are from your money hustle. And so you can make a living doing what you love. Anybody can do that just by following their passion. But if you want to master something, then mm-hmm. you need to learn how to visualize, and you need to get guides. These things don't come naturally. Maybe play the edge comes naturally when you're doing what you love. You're always like trying new things, but getting a guide and visualizing the outcome, these are two things that you need help with if you want to master something.
I totally agree. And the only times I've been able to master things is when I have had some sort of guide who can help me, someone I can ask questions, someone who can show me, oh, do it this way, or say, do it that way. Or even for singing, for example, learning to sing, you know, I realized that the reason that I believed for all those years that my grandmother was right and that I couldn't sing was because of the fact that I hadn't ever had any singing lessons, and so I hadn't learned how to practice the right way and how to do the breathing and how to listen to the music and the notes. And so that's just an example, though, of how if you get a guide, you can do things that you dream of doing that seem impossible right now just by getting that guide. And then doing all the things, you know, practice, practice, practice. But like you said in the book and in the DVD, you have to practice the right way or else you're not going to get the results that you want. So that's why having a guide is so incredibly important.
And I'm going to put myself in my discomfort zone right now to talk about something mm-hmm. that is real important to me in relation to the five keys, and that is how important it is for people to understand what their calling is in life. And I think, you know, knowing what your passions are leads you to something deeper, which is your calling. Like, I have many passions, and mm-hmm. I used to think that shooting with a video camera or making pizza or directing or lighting, I used to think that these were each one of them was my calling, mm-hmm. but they were just passions, and they were all just different ways of expressing what my calling was. My calling is turning people on. It could be turning them on with a great Neapolitan pizza, or a shot that I get with a camera, or a documentary I make, or a story I tell, or a speech I deliver. These are all just media that I use for expressing my calling, which is turning people on. Right? So,
I love that, Dave. I really love that.
Now, there are many people around the world that do not know who they are, and because they are searching for their identity and they're living in places where it's not easy to think about something like, who am I, what is my calling? You have people that there are no jobs for them, they can't afford to support their families or feed their children. So somebody comes along with a rifle and $50 a day and says, join our group, ISIS, or this liberation army or that liberation group. And it's a no-brainer for them because they don't know who they are and they're being offered an identity, which is a warrior identity. And it's the easiest for a young man who is confused about who he is to embrace. So we need to spread this idea of discovering who we are so that we are immune to being seduced for violent purposes, or
that's such an important point too, and you're making me realize part of the reason I felt called to write my book, which you're right. I mean, I felt called to do it. It wasn't because I thought I was going to make a lot of money with it, or wanted to do it as a reason to make a lot of money. But I just felt called to do it, and part of why is because it took me a long time to realize what mattered most to me, and that I had to be myself, and how I could do that, and how I could love myself, and how I could do things that I love that could help other people. And so that's part of why I wrote the book, is because there are so many people out there that don't know what matters most to them and don't know what their top values are, and aren't centering their life around the values that they have. And if we all did that, can you imagine what an amazing world this would be? This would be just so awesome if everybody could love themselves and live their music.
In at the end of the book, and at the end of George's interview, George Leonard's interview, he said, there's nothing more tragic to me, and this happened to me once, to talk to an old person at the approach of death, and the older person said, I realize now I've wasted my life. He said, so I really believe that a great deal of neurosis, disease, uneasiness, nervousness, drug abuse, crime, and perhaps even war can be attributed to the failure of developing our potential. And I believe him, and I believe that the failure to discover our identity, which is our calling. I mean, our calling is a huge part of who we are. Our inability to discover this, I believe, is as George says, what leads us to so much disease and crime and alcoholism, drug addiction, and war.
Yeah,
people not knowing who they are. A great example is like a pro athlete who's like 19 years old and just been given like $10 million, $20 million. Mm-hmm. And no one has ever said no to this person because they've been, treated like royalty since they were like 12 years old, like playing some sport. And then their wife or girlfriend says no, and they slap her because they've never developed that identity where you need to people are going to say no to you. You know, you're going to live in a world where things happen where you need to adapt. Does that make sense?
And I think that's one of the things, we're running out of time, but that's one of the things I think that people can really benefit from reading your book, Masterminds, is that they can learn from all these different wonderful people in there about what helped them live their music, live their passion, answer their callings, and do that. And before, I also need to mention that next week on Wednesday, July 15th, my guest will be Christy Earnshaw, and she's known as the Abundance Whisperer. And we'll be talking about ways that you can increase your abundance while you're living your music. And I also want everyone out there to think about how they'd answer these questions. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And, you know, Dave, there's just so much about this Earth that living here that is just so wonderful. And there are so many things that aren't wonderful. And it's just, you know, if more people would read your book, read my book, read whatever it takes, somehow realize that each of us has callings within us that we need to do and to do them. And they don't have to necessarily be really, really, really amazing. Like my first calling I had was to be a mom and then to write the book and then to sing. And then I got the calling to do this show. You know, all of them have been parts of what living my music means to me. And I just want so much for everybody out there to be able to do that, to realize that they have things, special things inside of them that they're meant to do.
And yeah, as George said, each of us is potentially a genius. Yeah.
All
there for us. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I think this is a Navajo saying, but you know how you get in a plateau and you don't think you're making any progress and you're stuck, mm-hmm. and beating your head against the wall. I love this I think it's a Navajo saying, which is, be grateful for the things that are on their way to you, things that you put in motion but you cannot anticipate. You like that?
Wow, I love that. I love that. Would you say it again?
Be grateful for those things that are on their way to you, things that you put in motion but you cannot anticipate.
Wow, that gives me chills. And it does, because it reminds us all that, you know, that we have to, first of all, we have to listen to our own heart and figure out what really does matter to us and what gives us joy and how we can hopefully give joy to other people. And then just keep moving toward that in whatever ways we can, and know that all of that's in, as Abraham Hicks would call it, our vibrational escrow, or in the vortex. But it's there, and it's going to all happen. But it's going to happen once you believe it, and once you've moved in that direction enough so that the timing's right. You know, divine timing, I like to call it, because you know you can't force a flower to grow faster than it's going to grow, or a baby to be born faster than it's supposed to be born. And that's true with a lot of the things that people want to accomplish in their lives and do in their lives, and yet they try to hurry it up.
Well, I'm sure glad there's one of you, Margo.
No.
Makes me
thank you. I'm really, really glad there's you and there's Susan and your daughter Nicole too. You three are just so awesome, and I'm so thankful to know the three of you. And we have 1 minute left. Do you have one really quick thing you'd like to say before we say bye?
Well, maybe my other I have two really favorite Navajo quotes, and the other one is this mm-hmm. Navajo philosophy about death, where they do, like the character in this book's about this Navajo family, the grandmother mm-hmm. died, but in the view of the family, the grandmother didn't die. She just became less accessible. And I mm-hmm. really love that. There's a way of looking.
That's the way I think of my mom. She's an angel in the sun.
She's with
me all the time as long as I'm feeling happy.
Yeah. Okay, I'll close with one more thing, and that's something I just saw in the Toastmasters magazine this month. A guy Bij Gar Reynolds, he's saying, the one thing that all successful people have in common is persistence. Well, that's one of the five things they have in common, right?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
And persistence is a synonym for practice. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Dave,
thank you, Margo,
for being on my show. Thank you so much for creating your DVD, The Five Keys to Mastery, and the book to go with it. I really, really appreciate it. I hope everyone out there will get your book and the DVD.
Oh, thanks, Margaret, very much. Enjoy the
You're
with,
welcome. Thank you so much. Bye for now, everyone. Bye, Dave.
Bye.